Nick, I'm a compulsive overeater. Okay. There you go. I see it. I'm Nick. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I am so grateful to be here tonight. This meeting is actually teaching me a my higher power is teaching me patience. I think he wants me to learn patience and also about people pleasing, because I'm worried about what I'm going to say, and I can't see your reactions. So I guess it's a blessed thing. So anyway, what it was like, where did how did I get into OA and what it's like now? So I think I was always a compulsive overreader. Just a typical middle class little boy. He ate everything and everything in sight. But I was a very active boy. Growing back up in the late 70s and early 80s. Really no electronics back then. Rode my bike, played sports. But as the years went on, I became less active. I don't know if my mother was really a people, a food pusher, but she had to know right then and there, especially when I was in college, if I was eating dinner. And when I'm 18 and 19 and I was commuting to college, I didn't know what I was going to do, who I was going to meet, who I was going to hang out with. And she wanted to know. So, of course, people pleasing Nick said, okay, I'm going to be home for dinner. So I would eat probably like two or three meals plus my mother's meal. And of course, I had my car at the time, so the bike went south and the weight kept on going on. My grandfather, my mother's father, who was my best friend, we were inseparable from the time I was born, died when I was, I think 20, maybe 19. And I think I experienced death once before and at 8 years old, and I never really knew how to handle it. I was a religious person, but God took my best friend away from me, so I was pissed off at God. And that's where, for me, they talk about the progression of this disease. And I didn't know that at the time. But my food kept on getting worse and worse. The weight kept on going on and on. But you know what? I'm in my 20s. You work it off. You join health clubs. You try different things. I don't know. It just didn't work. Got married. Had a daughter. Got the Superman complex. Worked midnights. Then worked all day, worked all midnight, ate pure carbs and pure sugar to keep me awake, and then came home and raised my daughter and stayed awake when I could. I wonder why I got type 2 about diabetes. So I May of 2001, so it's been 20 years since I've been in the rooms. I walked into my first room. Actually, it was prior to that. And I always remember things through catastrophic events. Hurricane Floyd came around, and for some reason, I don't know how I found out about OA. I went to my first OA meeting, and I'm like, oh my God, this is me. But my in-laws got their house destroyed in the Lost Valley section of Manville, and people pleasing Nick had to go and help rebuild the house. So OA wasn't ready. I shouldn't say OA wasn't ready for me. Always ready for me. I wasn't ready for OA. So I guess that was in the late 90s. So I don't know, a few more years later, May of 2001, I found my way into OA. And, it was good, but I wasn't working the steps. I was working a diet plan, so I was still in my late 20s. So my metabolism was still pretty fast. So I lost my weight pretty quick. Got off my diabetes medicines. And then I work for a company that was directly affected by 9/11. And because I wasn't working the steps and turning my higher power, turning my will over to my higher power, I tried to kill myself. And I put myself into a behavioral health lockdown where I learned that, you know what, I needed to be. I learned, but it took a lot more learning, many more years of learning, that I had to turn my entire will and my life over to the care of God. But what I've learned over the years is that there is no amount of food that will solve any of my problems. Whether my children piss me off, whether my wife pisses me off, whether my job pisses me off, whether my mother pisses me off, whether my grandmother, who's 94, who has dementia, is pissing me off, whether my car don't start. I could tell you today if my car don't start. Well, I have a new car now, but when my truck didn't start, I didn't call suicide hotline. I got it to my mechanic. Prior to OA, I was flipping out, you know, what the hell is this truck doing to me? But what I know is that over the past 20 years that I struggled because I've learned I'm selfish and self-centered. And that's not really a bad thing. It's just who I am. But what I learned is that only you people meeting the room, people in the rooms of OA and other 12-step meetings I go to when I can, understand me, understand my mind when I'll sit there and go and share at a meeting. Well, listen, I was having a hard day at work and I just wanted to raid the vending machine, and people would sit there and shake their head at the meetings. You know, if I shared that at home, people would be like, Nick, just don't go to the vending machine. You know, or somebody else would sit there and say to me, you know what, you're really sick. And you know what? And they're really true. I am really sick because my disease, and I really believe it's a disease, is centered not only in the body, but it's centered in the mind. Because once my food is lifted out of my mouth and out of my body, my mind still tells me, listen, Nick, it's okay. It's July 4th. It's only once a year. Everybody else is having all those desserts. You can have the, you can have what, you can have whatever you want. Tomorrow you'll make up for it. You know what? I've experienced so many of those situations in the rooms when I've done that, that I did that once and I was eating bags upon bags upon bags upon bags and waking up the next morning with a hangover, my sugar through the roof, kicking myself in the rear end and saying, God, why did I do that? Because I'm a compulsive overeater. And it you know what? It's okay. It really is okay. I'm not a mental defect. I'm just somebody that has like cancer. Their cancer is in remission, and if they don't take care of themselves the right way, their cancer can come back. If I don't put down the food and work on my mind, which is basically working the steps. And what I've learned is the first three steps are basically the thought process of like, okay, I'm powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. Yes, I know that without a fact. Two, came to believe that power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Yes. I have to, what other choice do I have?
5 minutes,
Three, made
Nick.
it, thank you. Three, made a decision to turn my will over to the care of God as I understood him. Now, this is where I always struggled. I always do it and people laugh. It's the tango. I call it the 1-2-3 tango. It's like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, because I always went back to the food. Because three, I always thought a decision was an action. It's not. It's a decision. Yes or no? Do I want a whole lot of food? A whole lot of pain or misery? Or do I want to be sane with the food and live a life of like happy, joyous, and feed it that they promised me in the steps? And if that's the case, then I have to do a good house cleaning and work on the steps. And it took 20 years. On the and I know I'm starting to get sick and tired of saying it myself, but I need to say this to remind my sick mind that on the oddest day of the year, February 29th, 2020, in the oddest year, I went to my last face-to-face meeting in Unity Day in Metuchen, and I became willing for whatever reason, I don't know. And I met my sponsor. And I became willing to work on a food plan that took 52 years of finally admitting, I always admitted I was powerless over sugar. But the wheat and the white flour, I'm Italian. You ain't gonna tell me that I'm giving up certain things. No effing way. But you know what? If I ate one, I ate 10 whole boxes of them. And I couldn't do that anymore. I had to be honest with myself. So on March 16th of 2020, since then, I've been sugar, wheat, and flour free. And how the heck did I do that on the lockdown? The first day of lockdown, finding all the right foods when people were hoarding food and hoarding everything else. I don't know. I just had to have, somehow I had faith. So when it comes to working this 6 and 7, which to me is a pain in the butt, giving up my character defects, it's tough. It's tough. But again, it's me that sits there and goes, okay, you know what? I have to sit there and go, okay, God help me. God help me. And it's working little by little. And I guess I'll leave off with two things. Today's reading in the Voices of Recovery, because that's what this meeting usually reads, was about when you, oh my God, when you move to when I move to California, I think I'm gonna get my when I move to California, I think I'm gonna change of destination is gonna change everything. No, it's not. My mind is still gonna bring my problems with me. I may think new people in my life. No. My mind is still going to sit there and blame other people for things that I'm doing. So to leave off there, I heard there was a newcomer here and there's some people that are visiting. If you're struggling with the food, my friend on this meeting, I've heard him say when I first started coming to the first retreats, if you're at this meeting, I'm sure you're not picking up food, so you're abstinent. So why don't you take this from this moment on and be abstinent? So with that, I will pass, and I hope you all had a great 4th of July. And because me, the freedom of the obsession of compulsion has been lifted, and I thank God every day.